up in Pasco 51 years. He spent 22 and a half years working for Dallas Dobson. And if you didn't know Brooke Dobson, he was quite an unusual critter. Great fundamentalist, strong preacher, unusual personality. And what's that? He was truth. And then, of course, he has pastored that same church for another 22 and a half years and was acquainted with it previous to that when he was starting a church not far away. I preached in that church several years ago that he started probably about 25, 30 mile away. All right. And I met Brother Paisley in Israel on a Joe Boyd Israel tour. And Brother Dobson took his staff and a bunch of the people went. I was with Brother Boyd. I went 2 years in a row with him and ran with Brother Paisley. Got to know him during that trip, and he and I went in the Holocaust Museum and wept and wailed. I mean, together, we prayed together, looking at that, just moving. And then, of course, I preached out there a number of times, Brother Dobson, about every year or two. And then when Brother Paisley took the work, he continued to have me and been developed into a real great friendship through the years. We've enjoyed that tremendously. I don't know if you remember when he'd been here before, some of the messages he's preached, just unbelievable, great truths, helpful stuff. And he's got a heart for missions, probably second to none. Great heart for missions. And it's a great missions church. That's his, I mean, his heavy emphasis, not only foreign missions, but reaching people here. Just a tremendous soul winner, good man of God, and I'm excited to have him preach. Now, you notice he's not winking at you. That one eye is sewed shut. He had surgery on it, a tumor in there, and they took it out, and they had to sew the eyelid shut. So he doesn't have to explain that to you. He didn't get in a fight at the motel. And if he did, he got the worst of it. But anyway, he'll come preach final message after these folks sing for us.
Though others have fallen away, I won't Beautiful song. What an honor to be here. I'm not patched the powers. I do carry a patch in my pocket for the children of our church, because you know how children are. They're full of questions. And Pastor, what happened to your eye? What's going on? So I just, and I asked my doctor, I got the best doctor in Washington State, and he said, wear it for an hour. I don't want you wearing it all the time. But it's interesting having one eye. I can't see a thing out of this eye. I mean, I can see people, but it's because this eye is picking it up. And so my children are all worried about my driving. Not only I'm almost 81. They said, Dad, we'll be glad to, you know, come help you drive. No, just stay right where you are. I said, I've got a thing memorized when I get in the car. It's called S-L-O-W, slow. And if I do that, I'm in good shape. But if I don't do that, watch out. If you see me coming down the road, just give me a little more room, all right? Of course, as you've thanked, you preachers have thanked Brother Terry and Brother Coral. This, you know, the Bible says a pastor's to be given to hospitality. You know, that's real important. That's a part of that truth and grace thing you're talking about. Hospitality. And Brother Terry is one of the most hospitable men that I've ever met. I come here, windshield wipers broke on the car. It wasn't a big deal, but man, it was snowing and couldn't see where I was going. So I asked him, is there a place in town to I can go get some windshield? He said, Brother Paisley, just give me the key to your car. And he took the key to my car. Yeah, I think Brother Miller back there, he gave it to Brother Miller, and Brother Miller took it over. Man, I got the best windshield wipers in anywhere in the United States now. I can see where I'm going. But thank you for everything. My, that hotel, that's just first class. That's first class. And thank you, Brother Coral, for your friendship. My soul, years back, I remember the Holocaust Museum. And I remember, he's going to be with us in 2 weeks. And we go soul winning together. It's fun going soul winning with Brother Dennis Coral. It is fun. And flying out here, let me say something. You want some fun in your life? Win people to Christ. Yeah, just I was flying out here and I got on the plane, Pasco, sit down beside. And I know you all do this. If you don't do it, it works. And you bow your head to pray before you're getting ready to take off, and you ask the Lord, now just guide me now before we sit down. I'm going to get with the right guy. And I led a person to Christ from Pasco to Seattle, and then I got on the plane in Seattle and led a person to Christ into Chicago. And I thought, man, now I can't wait to go back. I might see some other people saved because of the grace of God. We want to get the truth out is what we want to do. And these opportunities we have to go around the country, I don't try to travel as much as I used to. I love a place called Pasco, Washington. And Brother Coral said I could take, and Brother, the pastor said I could take a little time. I ended up in Pasco, Washington, not knowing where in the world I was going. I want to praise my wife, Dorothy. She's been in heaven for 13 and a half years. And she was the kind of woman. You ladies, many of you knew her. And I said, we're going to Washington. I was graduating from two Bible colleges. And I said, we're going to Washington. She said, whereabouts? I said, I don't know. Now, we had a 13-month-old baby who's married to an evangelist, And you know that, how that is, and you know how that is. You're on your trips all the time. But we got in the car and took off. My dentist said, you're crazy. You're absolutely nuts. You're taking your 13-month-old baby. You know where I sleep every night for about the last 50 years? I sleep within 200 yards of where I stopped and didn't know where I was going. My wife, we were going to go to Bellingham. And I'm just saying to you young preacher boys here, if God calls you, you don't have to wait around to go. If you want to go, you want to get excited, watch what happens when you take off and go. It's amazing. I thought to myself, wow, what the wonderful grace of God. Now, I'm going to talk about a message that I haven't preached. I preach this message, a form of it, all the time. But I'd like for you to take your Bibles and look at Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. What a passage of Scripture. And I'll be honest with you, I preach this message to myself. I've dreams. I hope I'm a young 81, coming up on 81 here in a couple of months. But I want to be 95 years old and crawling up and down the stairs of places around Pasco, and they'll say, is that old guy still around here, still knocking on doors? I wanted to. And I said, I asked the Lord, now, if he tarries, I want to die trying to lead someone to Christ. You know, you drop dead, my family all dropped dead of heart attacks. I mean, instantaneous, just like that. And I'd like to have a heart attack, maybe fall off the porch into the bushes or something. What a way to die. but you know, let's be faithful to the end, you know? You know, so I had a cancer in my eye, or in my eyelid, actually. It was a tumor. I'll be fine. But this verse, I'm going to tell you about this verse. And this verse, I can't hardly read it without crying. Maybe that's one of the reasons I haven't preached on it. This is the second time I preached it. And it's found in Isaiah 52. And these three verses just, I mean, they grip my heart. And Brother Joe, I think it goes right along your line. This is a hopeless with grace and truth. Okay? Look at it, what it says. Now, he says there, behold, my servant. My servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Then this is the verse that absolutely knocks the props out in my heart. And many were astonished at thee. That's a English word has to do with astonishment. Now, astonishment, I'll explain that in just a minute. But many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man. Now, folks, don't just skim over that. Don't just skim over that. I can imagine God the Son and his body and being marred more than any man. I'll say a word about that in just a minute. And he says his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than sons of men, than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Well, there's a missions verse right there, Isaiah 52:15. It says, the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which hath not been told them, thank God, shall their seed, and that they shall see, and pardon me about my eyes here, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. Let's pray. Father, I think of that verse, know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, Yet for your sakes, he became poor. That we, through his poverty, will be rich. And we are the richest people on the face of this earth. May we fall more, just more in love with Jesus every day. And Lord, may we be astonished every time we think of what he did for each of us in this Old Testament prophecy. And Lord, help us to love you, Lord. Just love you. I guess this message is about just loving the Son of God for all he's done for us. And we pray that you will get all glory and all honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention first to verse 13. If I titled the message, here's what the title would be. The title would be, Behold the Marred One. Behold the one marred one. Now, let me say this. I don't know. I guess God uses our lives as we grow up. He puts us in places where we didn't expect to be. When I was in first college I went to in Springfield, Missouri, my wife and I got married our senior year. Wonderful, wonderful woman. And I got a job at the hospital, one of the largest hospitals in Missouri. And I love working around people, so they put me down in the emergency room to help people coming in. I mean it was a fresh education every night. And I've been studying this Bible back in 1956, and I thought, well, that's an interesting verse. And then I go to work that night. I went to school from 8 in the morning to 1, slept in the afternoon, went to the emergency room or every other places in the hospital from 11 to 7. And so a lot of activity in the 11 to 7 shift. So you go there and you're not going. So I go there and I had this on my heart, and I'd worked there about 6 months, and the emergency room comes alive when the ambulances start calling. And my job, one of my jobs, was to take people out of the ambulance. And then I'd help the doctors. I'd hold people down. They were screaming and yelling and crying for help. And it was very rewarding because you knew you were helping people. Well, they get a call in. I hear it. The ambulance drivers, I knew them personally. They said, we got a bad one tonight. This is a head-on collision. And we got some seriously, seriously, seriously injured people. And I said, we'll be there. And, they'll give you their estimated time of arrival. We'll be there in 5 minutes. You can hear the sirens coming through the streets of Springfield. So I went out there and started pulling people, helping the ambulance drivers and the paramedics and all that, pull people out of this thing. And I couldn't believe what I saw. I really couldn't. Where it says here, it says, and many were astonished. I was astonished what I was looking at. Because I had never, in the time I'd worked at the hospital, had to ever have to deal with a head-on collision. So, this is an active hospital, too. Very active. And so I helped pull these guys, get them on gurneys, take them in. And the doctors, I'd work with them, and I enjoyed doing that. But, doctors are rough when there's a mercy going on. They're not going to be real. They're going to be more on the law side than the grace side. And so I cart these guys in, and so, honestly, blood everywhere. And I'd been memorizing this verse. His misdeeds were so marred more than any man. Oh, my soul. You know, he says, and many were astonished at thee, astonished at thee. And, you know, that was on my heart. Here I am carting a gurney down to the emergency room not far away. And we go in there, and the doctor said, okay, John, get him over here. And he starts examining this guy. I've never seen anybody like that, Brother Turner, honestly. And I'm looking at this, and the doctor, he was working real quickly, very good doctor. And he says this, John, get him out of here. And I said, sir? He said, get him out of here, he's dead. And he said, don't take him to the morgue. Just put him back in one of the curtains of the emergency room and come back and help me. We got a bunch of other people to work with. So I did exactly what he said, took the morgue cart, took the gurney, I pushed it in, and I had, the curtains were open. Now, I stood there and looked at that guy thinking about this verse. His vestige was so marred more than any man. And, you know, and the truth of it, the first part of that verse, I'm there like this. I was astonished. I have never seen anything like this in my life. Well, I knew I couldn't stand there and gaze at this corpse with blood still coming out of him, and his body was blood from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. But that verse hit me. And I actually said, Pastor, this is what makes me want to weep. Lord, you were beaten worse than that. I mean, this is the most horrible thing I've ever saw in my life. And I've said this for years. God doesn't exaggerate. Exaggeration is a lie. He's the God that speaks truth. And so I'm standing there in this emergency room for about 10, 15 seconds, and tears were coming in my eyes, and I'm thinking, you, Lord Jesus, I mean, the messenger of God, God in the flesh, I mean, what, you were beaten more than this? And folks, that was 50, oh my, well over 50 years ago. And every time I read that verse, you know what pops in my mind? That guy. It wasn't moving. I don't know. I don't know if he's saved or lost. But I have never seen such a mangled person in my whole life. And so I walked out. And I say walked out. I practically ran out of there because I had to help the doctor. And now we got two others that are dying. So we're working with them. And what I'm saying is I thought about that, and I thought, you know what that's about? Now think about this. Think about this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13, he was slain before the foundation of the earth. My dear wife died of cancer 13 and a half years ago. When I walked to the altar, we were married for 42 and a half years, and then it's 13 and a half years, so we're 56 years, 57 years of marriage, you know. And if I'd have went, listen, if I would have went to the altar and my pastor, Dr. Wendell Zimmerman, said, John, can I talk to you a minute? And I'd say, sure, Pastor, what's up? He said, well, I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but Dorothy's going to die in 42 years and 3 months. I'd ruined my wedding. Oh, my. This girl that I love so much and was the best wife a man could have, she's going to die in 42 and a half years? Think about Jesus. Now, it says, consider, behold. He says, behold my servant. You know, one of the problems we have is we think too much about ourselves and not about his servant. You know why people are going out doing stupid things and killing themselves and all kinds of other things? Because, listen, can I say this? It's not about me. And I hate to tell you, it's not about you. It's about him. Now, if we keep that, listen, that'll solve most of our problems right there. Every one of us knows that the mind of Christ is this. Let me tell you the greatest sermon I ever heard. Greatest sermon I ever heard. I went to 41 pastor schools at First Baptist Church of Hammond. So we used to take groups back there all the time. I'll never forget Dr. Hiles standing up there, and he said, I'm going to solve your problem tonight. I'll hold him back. Jack Hiles could do it. So I'm going to solve your problem tonight. Take your Bible. And he went to the cross. He preached the message called Others. Greatest message I ever heard. Oh, it wasn't some profound, you know, deep thought of great truth. I like practical stuff, Brother Dean. And I thought, so man, he had my attention. I mean, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Others, Lord, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I might live like thee. I mean, this is solve our problems. We as fundamental Baptists, and I agree with these guys. I'm telling you, I'm an old-time fundamentalist. Just ask my children, and I'll tell you that. And they, it's amazing that we have to be so, shall I say, I think when I think of Christ dying on the cross, let me just put it this way. I think of Christ dying on the cross. You know, we sloth through verses that are familiar. And we don't pause to think on these things. That's what he said. Look at every man on the things of others. And he says, I want you to have the mind in Christ. His mind was filled with others. You know? You say, I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better pastor. That's why I'm preaching this sermon. You know? Because I want to have more compassion for the people that are going through a tough time. And just like Brother Joe said there just a few minutes ago, I mean, listen, we can get in the biggest mess we ever. Listen, I thought about this verse when you were speaking it. Speaking the truth in love. Think about that. Now, don't just start to the next verse. Wait, let's back up. Speaking the truth in love. Here we have the people of the marred one. These are the saved people, and he wants us to be baptized in the love of Christ. Speaking the truth in love. I heard a guy say one time, boy, it stuck with me. I don't know who said it. And Brother Joe, you probably had it in your message. One of the things you left out. The truth without love is brutal. Do you know that? The truth without love is brutal. Well, I tell you, I told them the truth. Yeah. And even though you told them the truth, you may have sent them to hell. Because you didn't have, well, what's charity? What's love? The love of Christ. Charity suffereth. I'm going to quit preaching and go to bed. No. Charity suffereth You say, well, that woman calls me for counseling every other day. Charity. You know somebody like that, right? Charity suffereth long. You know what you do? If you love someone. Hey, how about your kids? Your kids ever drive you nuts? And they'll come back. Listen, I have many times I've had to say, charity suffereth long. God bless them. Listen, girls, you can come talk to me anytime you want to. I don't care if it's in the middle of the night. If you got a problem, because I love you, and I didn't go with the scripture, but it's there. Charity suffereth long. Let's just go one more verse, one more part. And it's kind. Brother Terry, I appreciate, I know how these men down here that work for you, I appreciate your kindness. You know, I can see it. Just like yesterday. You know, well, I got these windshield wipers. I don't want to wreck the car. Oh, Brother Paisley, give me your key. Give me your key. And he called one of the staff members and he said, hey, take care of Brother Paisley's car. I got the best windshield wipers in the world right now. I mean, they're top notch. When he came back with the key, he says, these are the best. I said, thank you. Thank you. You know what that is? That's kindness. But you know what that's a fruit of? Love. And so when we come to this portion of Scripture, we look at it and we see that he's talking about to his people. He says, behold my servant. And he says, I want you to see how kind and loving he is, that he would give his life and be knowing that from the foundation of the world. I'd be depressed. Now, so behold my servant. Let me go to the next thing. Not only the people of God's, of the marred one, but the pictures of the marred one. You want a depressing thing? Let me tell you. Get you a computer and put in there pictures of Jesus. I'm telling you. You know how many I looked at the other night in preparation of this message? 1,000 pictures of Jesus. You know what I was when I finished that? I was depressed. Out of 1,000 pictures that I saw, not one was correct. We let the artists, the sinners, they draw what Jesus looked like. Listen, you don't get the pictures of Jesus from the sinners. You get them from the scriptures. That's what we're looking at. That's why you spend time in the Bible. And you want to paint it the way he is. How important we look at the scriptures in the Bible. I mean, and we see that it's amazing the way that he is pictured in the Bible. You know what? No beauty that we should desire. This is right after this verse here. I mean, no beauty that we should desire. And let me say, talk to you young men a little bit, okay? And you young ladies too, okay? My wife was the best Christian I've ever met, honestly. To live with me, I know she was a good Christian. Because I'm a little bit more on the true side than I am on the grace side. And that woman, when she grew up, she had acne. She had acne. And it scarred her face. Her whole face was scarred. Now, I'm going to give you a little marriage counseling, okay? I don't know how many of you are married. But my pastor, I worked for Dr. Tom McGath in Springfield, Missouri, and she was the church secretary, and she was my best friend. I got a date with all the girls in the college because my wife, future wife, lined up every date. Because we were buddies. Hey, I mean, she, you get around her. Let me tell you what, here when we get married, and she says to me, I've got a confession I've got to make. Honestly, it shocked me to death. Because I watched her life. She was a soul winner, and Bible clubs, and bus routes, and all that kind of stuff. And I said, honey, confessions are supposed to come before you get married, not after you get married. And she puts her hand, I mean, she's a great actress. She puts her hand up here on her, on her top here, and she says, John, I got to get this off my chest. I said, okay. She said, when I was a Bob Jones, I did something very horrible. She said, we slipped off of campus, me and my roommate, Betty Lou Godfrey. Never met this woman. But I was so sucked into this thing. She said, we slipped off of campus. She told me later, you couldn't do that because it was a prison. You couldn't get out of there. This is 1960. And she said, we went downtown Greenville. Now, she said, we went to a medium. Now, I'm listening. I knew what a medium was. It's a fortune teller. This guy reads your palms and tells you your future. I honestly, I couldn't hardly believe this. She said, Betty Lou went in first. He came out and called for me to come in. And she said, I went in. He said, let me see your hand. He looked at my hand. And he started laughing just hilariously. I mean, the guy was laughing so hard. I mean, I thought this was a true story. He was bent over laughing. When he set his head up after he was laughing, I hit him up the side of the head as hard as I could. Now, here I am thinking this is all true. And she says, I said to her, well, why in the world did you do that? And she said, because my mama told me always to hit a happy medium. And here's this new groom goes. Well, what I was saying is this. She wasn't the most beautiful girl. You know what? Let me tell you the greatest advice I ever had. My pastor came to me. We both worked on the church staff before I went to work at the hospital. And he says, you going to get married someday? And I said, yes, sir. Sometime. He said, let me tell you who to marry. And he said, he pointed in the church office. She was the church secretary. Pointed in the church office. It's 1964. She pointed in there and he says, marry that girl right there. And I said, well, she's my best friend. He said, even more reason to marry that girl. And I did. And I'm going to tell you what. We had fun. And I watched her as she dealt with. You know, here she breaks both of her feet in her cancer. She was suffering from cancer. And she breaks both of her feet, falls in the parsonage. And this is just the way it flows out of her. She didn't have to think about it. They took her to the hospital, and the doctor said, hey, you're going to have surgery on your left foot because you've broken it severely. Your right foot is broken. We'll put a boot on that one. And he says, but you're going to have to wait 4 days before we can do surgery because you won't heal. The chemo has shot. You won't heal. And so they did that, took surgery, put 14 screws in her left ankle. And a plate in her left ankle. And one of our families from the church came and they said, Dorothy, how are you doing? I wish I could talk the rest of the day about this woman. She says, well, Brother Howard, she'd taken 6 units of blood and had 14 screws in her left ankle. She said, I'm 2 quarts low and all screwed up. And I'm standing there, and I'm saying, I asked her after that, they left. I said, where do you get all this stuff from? I've been married with you for years, and you're always coming up with your own little happiness. And you know what? my doctor, that doctor, on a college, just worked on 14,000 patients in our area. He came to me right before she died. He's a Jew. We'd witnessed to him, preached to him about the Messiah. And he comes and he says, you know what? You're a blessed man. This is the Jew saying this. You're a blessed man. He'd been in our area 40 years. And I said, you're right, Doc. You're right. And he says, your wife, I have never in my whole medical career, he was a graduate of Yale, highest in his class. And he said, I've never had anybody like your wife. And it's because of her attitude. You know what love will do? Love will change your attitude. Holy Spirit will change your attitude. Holy Spirit will make us a little more on the compassionate side, on the grace side, and a little bit on, and then less on the truth side, although truth is so important. Don't cut either one. It's good to have a balanced life. And so we see that picture of the marred one is not an accurate picture, but the picture in the Bible is so, so, so accurate. It just balances right out. So we see the people of the martyred one. Behold my servant. That'll solve our problems. I'm trying to be simplistic. It's not about you. It's all about him. Yeah. Also, the pictures of the marred one is not accurate unless you get it from the scriptures. And then you got it accurate. Now, let's talk a little bit about the piercing of the marred one. I gave you the illustration of the guy that was hauled off into the emergency room dead on arrival. And I had to go in there and see him. And then when I started looking up words in the Bible after that on piercing, take your Bible and turn to Zechariah, if you would. Go back to Zechariah. And we're talking about, behold, the marred one. And look at Zechariah chapter 12. This is an amazing verse of scripture. When I first read this as a young Bible student in Bible college, they always taught us in Bible college, read the context, make sure you got it right, make sure that you can know what the context is telling you about that passage. And in this thing right here of the piercing of the marred one, look what it says in verse 3. Look at verse 1. Let's get the context. The burden of the Lord for Israel. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. Look at verse 4. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider. And he goes on describing the last days of the Judah and its the Lord's deliverances. But I want to draw your attention for sake of time. Go to verse 10. Okay. Now we're talking about the pictures of the marred one, the people of the marred one. We're talking about the piercing of the marred one. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and truth, grace and supplication, and shall, watch now what it says here. This is amazing. I got this triply underlined in my Bible. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only begotten son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now, who's talking here? God Almighty is talking here. And he said, they'll look upon me whom they have pierced. You know what that means? You know what it means. We know it too. God is the Trinity. It's God the Father, but also God the Son. And these three are one. Holy Spirit. And it's amazing that God Almighty Himself, when He was taken to the cross of Calvary and beaten beyond recognition, where nobody could even identify Him as a man. See, that's why I get, this is where I get a little more in truth than grace. We're not telling how it really was. We listen, it would make you sick. It would make me sick to see what the Son of God did for us on the cross. Listen, when He dropped that cross, He bled out half His blood already. You take a cat of nine tails and whack on you. It'll cut you. I mean, and those Roman soldiers were so good at that. And crucifixion was a deterrent. So they wanted to make it as gruesome and as evil as it was. And here they are taking the Savior, God the Son, and they're cutting His hide right off of His body. That's why when I looked at those pictures the other night, I thought, you guys don't have the foggiest idea what the Bible says. How important. Behold. Behold, that means keep ever in view. I get up this morning, not because I'm preaching on it, but I want to train myself when I get up in the morning. I want to train myself. The first one I want to think about is Jesus. And then I'm going to say he was so marred more than any man. You know what that'll do? Change your life is what it'll do. Because you'll find yourself, He did that for me because He loved me so, and He loved me before the foundation of the world. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm going to go to heaven someday. And by the way, let me say about those piercings. They didn't go away after He resurrected. Now, this is where I get a little bit carried away. I mean, look at Thomas. I'll not believe that, except I see the nail prints in his hand, the holes inside. Well, he saw it. But you know what? It's interesting. Well, here we're looking at the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, His love for us, and to know the life, love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. You want to be filled with the fullness of God? Study that a little bit. And work on that thing of His crucifixion. And see what they did to Him. I mean, I'm telling you, it will change our hearts. It'll reach down deep, deep, deep into our soul and spirit. And then, notice, when you go back there, when you see Him the way He really is, let's go to Psalm 22, and then we're just about finished. Psalm 22. Let's go to Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, I'm going to prove something here. Here's David. I mean, I'm not going to take time to go through the whole thing. But in Psalm 22, look what it says. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now, listen to this in verse 17. Hey, can you imagine David writing that? Now, here you are being inspired by God, and you're writing that down. They pierced my hands and my feet. And Pastor, he looks at his hands, and he looks at his feet, and say, I don't have the foggiest idea what I'm talking about. You know. But it happened. It happened just like he said it would. 700 years. And you know, you look at that and you see what they did at the crucifixion, and they ripped his hide right off of him. My soul. To know the Lord, love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I can't explain this to you, but I hope you're getting just a little glimpse of the passion of Christ and the piercing of Christ and the pictures of Christ and the pictures of the marred one and his people. That's us. Now, let me just close with this. Why is all this about? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 53. And we're finished. Let's look at the plan of the marred one. So we got the pictures of the marred one. We got the, first of all, people of the marred one, the pictures of the marred one. We've got the piercing of the marred one. We got the passion of the marred one. And now we close with the plan of the marred one. Look what it says. So shall he sprinkle many nations. You know what my dream is? You know, let me give you a dream. Pray for my dream, okay? We have 317 missionaries in about almost 100 countries. Okay. You know how many countries there are in the world? A bunch. Before I die, I'm asking the Lord to do this. Before I die, I mean, we took on 14 missionaries 2 weeks ago, and we're going to take on some more missionaries here in just a few days. And I would love to have a missionary in every nation of the world that we have a part in their life. Why? That's the plan. That's the plan of the marred one. Look what he says. It says, he shall sprinkle many nations. And get my glasses on where I can see. And he says, and kings shall shut their mouths at him for that which had been not been told. Listen to this. That which had not been told shall these see, and they, I can't see it, but they which they have not heard shall they consider. You know, we're working with missionaries now. I got three missionaries we support. You know where they go? They go to unreached nations. Now, when I saw unreached nations, I'm not talking about nations. I'm talking about tribes. I got a guy right now. I wouldn't be surprised if I heard a call from him and say, Pastor Paisley, you know, our missionary, Jason, he got martyred. He was killed by a tribe. He went into Peru for 46 days and ran out of food after the fourth day, he and his brother-in-law. You say, why? Because that's the plan of the marred one. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to get the gospel out. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, if he, and you know what motivates us? And I'm finished. What motivates us? Look at his piercings. Just look at him. Here I am, cart, blood dripping off down the sheets. And I looked at the guy's head from there down to about his chest, all blood. And his vestige was marred more than that man. I can't get that out of my mind. So it makes me say, hey, it's easy to see what God wants us to do. He wants us to be soul winners. He wants us to reach the folks right here in America. Brother, I appreciate what you're doing and the meeting the other day. And I'm thank God we got our missionaries that are going to these. And you know what they ate when they were in the jungle when they got lost? They weren't lost. The radio went out. They killed crocodiles and killed crocodiles and eat them. That's how they got by. One of them almost, he said, my brother-in-law, when we came out of those jungles of Peru, we were going to a native tribe that had never been reached. And when he came out, he said, my brother-in-law was at the gates of death because we ran out of food. We were in there with no food. We didn't have any, nobody knew where we were because the radio went out. And I thought to myself, thank God there's people that have a vision. And I'll tell you what, if you know missionaries that are going to unreached nations, give them my number. I'm serious. I mean Baptist missionaries now. I want people that preach the truth, the way the truth is written. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how we'll do it, but we're going to try to get a preacher in every nation of the world. Exciting, exciting, exciting. Why? But that man on that cart wasn't the worst one I've ever seen pierced. He's the one that's the worst one that's ever been pierced. And you know what we owe to him? For God so loved the world, what, know you not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Became poor, my soul became poor. You talk about getting beaten beyond recognition. And I'll close with this. My wife's in heaven. I tell you, she was something else. And, you know, because Thomas could see all the scars and the nail prints and the hole in the side, the holes in the hand. Now, I don't know if this is true. But I love my wife so much. And Brother Kennedy, if she met me at Heaven's Gates, and most affectionate gal you ever want to meet, we embrace. I don't know if you kiss in heaven. I'll try to kiss her in heaven. But you know what I could hear? With tears in her eyes. You say, but there's no tears in heaven. Wait a minute. There sure is. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. She was a tender soul winner. She had bus route for 31 years. Played church pianist for... did all kinds of stuff. It was the greatest wife a man could have. I can see her say to me, John, I want to take you somewhere. And I say, what are you talking about? I want to take you to the throne. Now, the Bible doesn't say he's going to meet us at the door. It doesn't say, you can let your imagination just run. This is what I want to think about. And she grabs my hand. She said, you ain't going to believe what you see. And so I grab her hand. We had a child that died. Meet the child. Never met the child. We start walking towards the throne. And then here's what we're going to hear. it's going to be beautiful. It'll be astonishing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and hath redeemed us to God by his blood. And we get closer to the throne. She says, honey, look at the throne. And you look up there and you don't see some good-looking, handsome Jew sitting up there on the throne. You see the one that was vestige was so marred more than any man. You know what I'll make you want to do? Hey, none of his disciples, none of his friends, none of his people, people that were close to him, they didn't even recognize him after he came out of the grave. They didn't know who he was. And eventually he revealed himself to them. But I can't help but believe some of that has to do with the scars that he had. And we bow down, she and I, at the throne. And we join the chorus. You see, it doesn't say, oh, wonderful is this powerful creator. No. Wonderful, marvelous, worthy, this is the word. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And you know that song, it says, I wish I'd have given him more. By and by, when I looked on his face, hey, scars. Unbelievable. Hey, pull somebody's beard out and see how you feel. I mean, see how they feel. There'll be globs of skin and, I mean, all the stuff that he went through, I know we'll be in an all-knowing place. Thank God we are, and we'll know that's Jesus, but I don't know what we're going to see. It could be all the scars, all the inhumane piercings, and the blood and all that. My, I don't know. But let me just say this. Let's love him because he first loved us. And it's, you know what, in the last verse of that chapter, missions, soul winning. I mean, we're going out trying to get people saved. Why? Because there's one on the throne right now. And he is the one that was pierced beyond recognition, and no man was ever marred. His vestige was so marred. More than any man. Let's pray. Our Father, you said to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. I understand that right now. May we just love Jesus. May we tell people about him, how wonderful he is and ever has been. Thank you, Lord, for being slain before the foundation of the world. We'll never understand that. All this is beyond knowledge. But so thankful, I am so thankful that we can go and meet the marred one. And maybe, I don't know for sure, maybe still see the scars as Thomas saw the nail prints, holes in his side. Lord, help us to love you and serve you. We'll give you the praise for it. If there's any here that's never trusted this one who did so much, help us. Lord, we want to see them saved. And bless Brother Angel as he gives the invitation here. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to love Jesus. Just love Jesus and have that balance that Brother Joe talked about of truth and mercy and truth and grace and truth. And Lord, you had it all in Jesus' name. Pastor.